John chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 16 tonight. Whichever translation you're reading from, I ask that you read it out loud with me, please. Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for the gift of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, on Sunday, we began a lesson, and it was called, When God Has Spoken, the Church Says Amen. And we talked about God's spoken word, the power in his word being creative. Now, this is not a continuation of that message. It's the next part in the series. So tonight's title is The Evidence of God's Spoken Word. As a review, we looked at Psalm 33, verses 4 through 11, and I'm going to move quickly. So if you're not taking notes, please feel free to download the message from Sunday or get a copy of the DVD or the CD in the bookstore. But Psalm 33, verses 4 through 11 in the New Living Translation says, For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans, say the Lord's plans, the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. I shared with you on Sunday that God's words are creative. That means that they produce. They bring about a change or a result. We looked at that word create, and I shared that in Webster's dictionary, to create means to bring into existence, to produce or bring about by a course of action or behavior. It means to make something new. We looked at Isaiah 55, and we saw that in one of the songs tonight, and I'll put this on the tape. Gentlemen, sound bless your hearts. Thank you so much for how you select the music with the approval of the pastor. Thank you for flowing with the Holy Spirit because it so emphasized the integrity and the importance of God's spoken word. Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11 in the Amplified Bible says, For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect or useless. But it shall, say it shall. There's a period, a process in that shall. It shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. And it shall, say shall. I don't know if you realize it, but every one of us is walking in a shall. Words that God has spoken to us, words that God has spoken about us. God's declarative, creative power in his word. We are walking out the shall. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In the New Living Translation, verse 11 says, It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. God says it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I sent it. So again, God's words are creative. They produce results. They change circumstances and situations. They take something that appears to be absolutely nothing and causes it to exist to be that which God purposed it to be. Examples of God's creative power I shared were in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, where God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? He spoke He said it, and the power in his word by the Holy Spirit caused it to be. I also shared that the validity, or another way of saying it, is the integrity of God's word is based on who he is, his character. A reference is Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and I'll read that for you. It says in the Amplified Bible, God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither the Son of Man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We saw it in one of the songs in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13. God said to Jeremiah that he hastens to perform his word. Let me share that verse with you in the Amplified Bible. God says, I am alert and I am active. I'm watching over my word to perform it. So he doesn't speak it and leave it out there. His words are creative that they actually cause a working in the process of the spirit realm, which we cannot see, that causes that word to actually bring about circumstances and conditions that bring a change and a result in the natural world, which we can see. References were Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 17, where God spoke to Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham. And by doing that, God began speaking, calling Abraham what he intended for him to be, the father of many nations. But I shared with you that Abraham had a corresponding response to what God said. What was that? He believed God. He got in agreement with God. A reference is for Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 22, and I'll share that with you out of the Amplified. Speaking about Abraham, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question, concerning the promise of God. And remember, Abraham was an old man at that time. Sarah in the natural was past the age of having children. But the scriptures say that Abraham grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. He was thanking God for what he couldn't see. He wasn't waiting for it to appear before him to say, "My God did this." He had confidence that in the power of God's word, what God said was surely going to come to pass. Now remember, I said the word create means to bring into existence, to produce, or to bring about by a course of action or behavior. It also means to make something new. Another example we looked at was in Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. You don't have to turn there. I'm sharing these as a reference so that we can get to the place we're going to start tonight's lesson. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord said, "He shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." God spoke, put into motion what he was about to do. He spoke it through the prophet Isaiah, and then he forecasted a little further. When we looked at Luke chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there, verses 28 through 38, I'm going to pick up in verse 31, when the angel came to Mary, and he said, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, "And listen, you will become pregnant." Imagine you're a teenage girl and you don't even know a man that way. You haven't gotten past him showing up at your door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And because of mommy and daddy, you can't let him in the house. And yet the angel of the Lord says to her, "You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David, And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end. Verse 34, Mary says to the angel, how can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? Then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. See, God was gracious. He was giving her information. He was giving her some details. Don't you wish when God tells you something, he give you some details? But if he did, most of us would derail. We would either say something or do something to mess it up. So God has to give us a title. He has to forecast something and then tell us, trust me. The Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. So the holy, pure, sinless thing, the offspring which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. And this is key, verse 37. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Look at the person next to you and say, no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Now listen to Mary's response. Then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. In other words, family, Mary got in agreement with what God said. The angel came to her and she received what he said as if God appeared to her, himself. Mary didn't try to figure it out. Well, what is Joseph going to say? How big am I going to get? What's this child going to look like? Does he have my eyes? No. Mary said, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. How much more should we take God at his word? For he's the same God that created the heavens and the earth. And when he speaks, things happen. He brings about changes and results. Look at our lives today. How many of us can remember before we met Christ, before we came into relationship with God, when we had no peace, when we had no security, when we did not know that we are the righteousness of God, but we took faith in the spoken word of God. We took faith in the written word of God. And when we started speaking that word, what happened in our lives? Transformation, change. The power is in the word of God. It's not watered down, family. So the angel said to her, there shall be a fulfillment of that which was spoken to you. That word fulfillment, it's the same as if we say shall. It refers to a fullness of time, a season, a period of progression, development, maturity, or preparation. How many of you are in place of fulfillment? I am. According to Webster's, that word fulfillment means the act or process of delivering a product. Now, Mary said in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. In other words, she said, may your word be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. So what she said was, let it happen. Let the process begin. Because God said it, I'm in agreement with what God says. And then when Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth spoke something. Luke chapter 1, verse 45. In the Amplified Bible, Elizabeth said, blessed, happy, to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that was spoken to her from the Lord. How many of you believe that every word God spoke to you is true? You are blessed because you believe that there shall be a fulfillment, a fullness of time, the period of progression, development, maturity, and preparation is going to bring about the completion of what God has spoken to you. When we believe, since we believe that every word that God speaks is true, then we should be in a state of expectation that there will be evidence of what God has said. I don't care if he said he's going to take care of your lunch for tomorrow, whether it's a peanut butter sandwich or whether it's prime rib, you should be expecting to have your lunch taken care of tomorrow. If God said that he's going to restore your marriage and he's working out the process, I don't care if your spouse tells you they hate your guts, you should be expecting that there is going to be a fulfillment of what God has said. Because as the angel said to Mary, no word from God is without power. God's words are creative. So when he speaks it, he starts putting in place circumstances and things. He changes hearts and attitudes and minds. He lines up conditions and places and even laws and favor on your behalf to bring about that which he said. There is power in God's spoken word. Now tonight we're talking about the evidence of God's spoken word. What does evidence mean? According to Webster's, it is an outward sign. It's an indication. It's something that furnishes or provides proof. It's a testimony. How many of you came up in an environment where they had testimony service? If it was done in a way that was really meant to honor God, really meant to brag on the goodness of the Lord, it told about something that was one way, and then because of what God did or what God said, and someone got in agreement with God and trusted God and believed God, that which was this way turned that way. That's what the testimony is. It gives glory to God to say there is evidence that God did something, that God changed something, that God brought me out of something, that God brought me into something. That's evidence. The evidence or result of the spoken word that God spoke to Mary is found, and you can just put this as a reference if you don't have it, Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, and Matthew chapter 1. That was the birth of the child Jesus. So that which God spoke in Isaiah chapter 7, he fulfilled. There was the actual result in Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1. So then I asked you a question. As New Testament believers in the body of Christ, what should our response be to God's spoken and written word? You remember, hallelujah. Turn over, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 19 and 20. I'm going to share that out of the Amplified Bible. And it says, "For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by myself, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it is always the divine yes." And verse 20 is key. "For as many are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, Christ. And for this reason, we," say we, "utter the amen." And what does amen mean? "So be it to God through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God." And what I shared with you is that when the God makes the promise, Jesus is the amen. Jesus is the yes to everything that God says. So if Jesus, the head of the church, is agreeing with the promise, what should the body be doing? Agreeing with the promise, agreeing with what God says, not trying to rationalize it, not trying to figure it out, not looking at natural circumstances and saying, "Yeah, I know what you said, Lord, but I know you told me this, Father, but." No, if the head is in agreement with the spoken word of God, then the body should be following the head and be in agreement with what God says. Let me read that same, those two verses for you out of the New International. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. And so through him," and that's through Christ, The amen is spoken to us to the glory of God, to the glory of God. That means all of God's promises to us are being fulfilled, brought to pass through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the means of the fulfillment. He's the means of the provision. He is the completion of every promise that God has made to his body, the church. Let me share that how that happens. Turn over, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 15 through 18. I'm sharing this out of the Amplified Bible. And this is referring to Jesus. Now, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation, for it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service, his intervention, and in him and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. They cohere and they are held together. He is the head of his body, the church. How many of you are part of the church? Christ is our head. Seeing that he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy praise. So when you come in those situations where it seems like the lights went out, whether it's your home lights or not, when it seems like that calamity hits you like that, before we can say, oh my, or oh God, let praise be that thing that comes out of your mouth. Let thanksgiving to God be the thing that comes out of your mouth, because it doesn't catch him by surprise. It doesn't take him off God, and it certainly doesn't stop Christ from being the head of the church. So continuing, he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first and be preeminent. Let me net it out for you. Everything that we have, everything we will come into, God is going to bring it into existence through the person and the office of Jesus Christ. That's the right he won for us when he went to the cross. He became the head over all things. So he is the officer that stands in the place that says, that's my Father's word. I'm going to make it happen. He speaks it out and we say what? Amen. So be it. So then, in John chapter 1, solidifying this principle that Jesus is the means of the provision of every promise that God has made to us. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. So do you see the supremacy of Christ? Do you see the lordship of Christ? So when God speaks something, Jesus says yes, and our response says amen. That's why we have to know what God has said to us, about us, and speak that where? Here in the earth. He gave us dominion and authority. Yes, circumstances and situations are going to come up, and it's going to look unfavorable at times. And everybody's not going to love you. But you speak what God has said, and the same creative power that's in God's word, when he speaks it, when we speak it, it's going to have the same effect. Now, according to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 and 20, we have the responsibility of saying amen. And I'm going to quickly share with you again what some references said the word amen means. It means to be in agreement with. It means to say surely, truly, so be it, may it be fulfilled. The word amen, one commentary says, that word amen is an expression of absolute trust and confidence. So when God says something and we say amen, what we are saying is, Lord, we have absolute trust and confidence in your spoken word. Vine's Expository Dictionary says that amen, when it is spoken by God, means it is and shall be. And when it's spoken by us, it means so be it. So that's the agreement. According to Webster's Dictionary, amen is the solemn ratification. It is an expression of faith. Now, I said tonight's lesson is the evidence of God's spoken word. And while I waited for God to tell me what he wants to talk about regarding evidence, interestingly enough, he said, let's talk about David. Turn over, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel chapter 16, we're looking at verses 1 through 3. Actually, we're going to read more than that. We're going to go down. I'm sorry, it's 1 through 13. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. I ask that you follow along. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you," and that's not a bad woman. And I'm saying that seriously because some people, you know, we get caught up in modern slang and tech and words that we've come up in our heritage and our culture. How many of you have ever heard your mama or your aunt refer to somebody who sleeps around as a heifer? He's talking about an animal. And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one I name to you." And Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. Key principle here. Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. Did the Lord tell Samuel which one of Jesse's sons he was going to anoint? So Samuel had to do something in order to find out. Obedience to God's instruction is key when you don't have full understanding or the whole picture. Do the part he tells you and wait for further instructions. Don't stand there and say, "But what's going to happen after that? Tell me what the whole thing is." Trust God that if he tells you to walk from here to that front row, when you get to that front row, he'll tell you what you're supposed to do next. Samuel had to obey God at the instruction that he gave. Continuing. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Have you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked on Eliab, the oldest son, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And I love this. God shows the humanity even in the prophet. Because even though the prophet is anointed, he's still in human flesh. He still has human perception. So if he's not listening to God, following every step, he could be swayed by what he sees, what he thinks, what he hears. That is why it is so key to hear and know the leading of the Holy Spirit. So he says, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Look not on his appearance or at the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man does." How many of you are glad about that? "For man looks on the outward appearance,
But the Lord looks on the heart.
Don't you ever let anybody tell you because of your background or your status or what you look like or your educational level that you don't amount to anything in this world. That is a lie. God's not looking at your past to determine your future. He's already determined what your future is. He's waiting for us to get in agreement and trust him to let him walk us through it. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass before Samuel. But Samuel said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen him. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Here's another key principle to learn. Never be in a hurry to try to help God accomplish something. Because Samuel could have said, well, I got to pick one of them. He could have done a quickly, eeny, miny, mo. This one look good. That one look, yeah, I could do that. No, he had to so follow what God was telling him that he wasn't willing to settle. He wasn't willing to rush. He wasn't willing to make some accommodation because this was going to be God's anointed. All of history was going to be affected because of this decision. He could not afford to lean unto his own understanding. Continuing, then he, meaning Samuel, said to Jesse, are all your sons here? Only takes a question. Jesse said, there is yet the youngest. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send for him, for we will not sit down to eat until he is here. Jesse sent and brought him. David had a healthy, reddish complexion and beautiful eyes and was fine looking. The Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him. This is he. Another key principle. It is significant and most important to wait for God's next instruction. So many times God is giving us directions and he's not giving us all of them at one time. So he gives you one, you take that step, you wait for the next instruction. But just before God can give us the next instruction, we tend to think, this is taking too long. Oh, that looks good. Why don't I do that? That's a good choice. That's lucrative. It'll get me some money. It'll prosper me. And we step off in a direction and God is saying, I meant that way. It can be that significant to miss the direction of God by not being willing to wait for his next instruction. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers. I have to say, because I keep hearing it, don't settle for what God didn't appoint for you. Don't go after that which God has not called to you. Because then you are saying that the spoken word of God is there, but you have a right to make a choice and you're going to go for something else. It may look good. It may sound good. It may be feasible and easy to acquire. But if God has not spoken it to you, if God has not directed you to that, it pays to wait for God's direction. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, according to history, David was approximately 16, 17 years old when Samuel anointed him, or king of Israel, anointed him as God's chosen. But if you've read through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, you well know that it didn't happen overnight. There was a shall in the process. There was that place of preparation. That was that place of maturity. That was that place of development. David had to go through rejection. He had to go through abandonment. He had to go through persecution. He went through all kinds of stuff knowing that God anointed him to be the king of Israel. So then wouldn't it behoove us to say, you know what? I know God told me this. And while things don't look like it, maybe I should just hold on. Maybe I should just trust God.
Maybe I should stop putting other words out there and line up and agree with what God said. Because God spoke it, so there is a process taking place. And God's creative power is working behind the scenes and making things come to pass that I cannot see. But when we get ahead of God and lean into our own understanding, we start trying to help God out and figure, well, I might as well do that. That's a good step. That makes sense. Did God say that? Did God lead that way? Sometimes we really don't want to appear that we don't know what to do. You know what? That's one of the most secure places to be, because it forces you to stay in God's face. It forces you to listen to God. If you don't know where you're going, do you speed at 75 miles an hour down a 20-mile-an-hour road? You can't. You're not going to see where you're going. You won't know if you missed your turn. So when God has said something and you don't have all of the details, it pays one to be quiet long enough for God to give you the next instruction. It pays to be sensitive enough to what you think is just that little thought, which is truly the leading of God. So many times we're waiting for what I call burning bush experiences, and God is over there saying, I'm that little thought within. I'm that stirring within. Listen to me. You keep thinking that's just something trying to delay you. That's me trying to save your life. So in this process, it took over 13 years for what God had spoken about David to actually manifest. But the evidence, the proof of what God said that David would be the king of Israel, turn over, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Second Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 in the Amplified Bible. Then all of the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord told you, You shall feed my people Israel and be prince over them. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began his 40-year reign. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. There was a process of fulfillment that took place from the time God spoke it. Did not mean that God's word was not working on David's behalf. But that process of fulfillment was the period of progression, the period of development, the period of maturity, and the period of preparation. I can promise you, in some way or another, every one of us is in that same process. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of our different parts in the body, whatever role God has called you to, you know, we go through levels. So what we learn at this point and God can trust us with at this point, and then he has plans to take us to the next level. But between here and there, there is a progression of maturity. There's a progression of development so that we can handle and stand well in the next level that he's called us to. You all know everything that God has called us to, we are not at the place at that moment to step into it. It doesn't mean that the word is not going to come to pass. We need to do just as Mary did. We need to do just as David did and Abraham did. We need to get in agreement and hook up with what God says. And even if our circumstances don't look like it at the moment, spell the word million anyway and put your name after it. Because if God says million and he's talking to you, it's yours. But it's going to be unto you according to your faith. What are you saying about what God has said? Not about what the economy says, not about what corporate America says, not about what your family says, not about what your bank account says, but what has God said? Because the spoken word of God has creative power in it that however long it takes, it shall surely come to pass. Why? Because as the angel said to Mary, no word from God is without fulfillment or power to make it happen. So when God has spoken to this congregation, and I don't know if you've been listening, but he's been speaking a lot. And it's not just for the pastors, because pastors don't pastor themselves. They need sheep to pastor. So we're that. So when God is speaking to the shepherd, to the pastors, he's speaking to this whole congregation. And he is saying there are things that you're all going to come into because every one of us have a part to play in it. So when it's the mall, when it's the plane, whatever it is that God has said, let our agreement be so be it. Because just as we've seen here, there shall be a fulfillment of what God says. There will be the evidence of it. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. This is the way the Lord gave it to me. Everyone touch the seat where you're seated, where you're sitting. You feel that, right? That is evidence of God's spoken word. God spoke to Pastors Clinton and Sarah Utterbach and told them to go to Bible college. At the time, there was no Redeeming Love Christian Center in the natural. They had to get in agreement with God and obey him. Then when they came back, and it looked like they needed to move, not look like, they did need to move to a larger facility. And there was a corporation that owned this building. And it seemed like in the natural that nothing was going to work out for them to have this building as the next home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. God told Pastor Sarah to do something. And she obeyed him. He told her to drive around this property, which wasn't the home of Redeeming Love Christian Center in the natural at that time. Told her to drive around this property and speak to the Brits, speak to this building and tell this building that it would function as nothing other than the future home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. Touch the seat again. Where are you seated? This is the evidence of God's spoken word. Because when God spoke to Pastor Sarah and she believed God and obeyed him, those bricks heard God's voice when she spoke. Those bricks had to obey what God said. And it is no different for us today. So if God tells you something and you are speaking what God says, circumstances, situations, and conditions have to line up with the creative power that is in God's spoken word. When you believe, when I believe what God has said, just as the angel said to Mary, there shall be a performance. There shall be a fulfillment. But we've got to keep our faith level up. We've got to watch the words that we're speaking. And we've got to catch the vision. Because it's not just about those people. It's not about some of us. It's about all of us. Because this is global. And God is going to reach and impact the nation and the world through this ministry. I'm speaking it by faith. I don't know what the details are, and I don't need to know. I just need to do the part God gives me. But just in your own individual lives, I'm going to make it a little more granular for you. You have a situation going on. Somebody in here has a situation going on in your home. And I don't need to know who you are. But you have something going on in your home that you've been talking to God about. And it's not favorable in the natural. And it seems to be getting more significantly worse. Seems to be. God is saying, when are you going to say what he has said? When are you going to stop being moved by what you see and what appears not to be changing? Because when you start speaking the same creative word that he spoke to you, you will see a fulfillment of what he has said. Let's take it a little further. There's somebody with a job situation. And on that job, it seems like you're being overlooked. Seems like you're not being treated fairly. And you're talking to God about it, but you're talking to God about what you see. You're talking to God about what they say or don't say. And God is saying to you, but what did I say to you? Because what I've spoken to you, that's what I'm waiting for you to say. Because when you get in agreement with what God has said about that situation on your job, then you will see the evidence of God's spoken word in manifestation. We're going to go a little further. There's somebody with a marriage, and it just has not seemed as intimate and peaceful between you and your spouse.
Seems like little things are coming up to try to rub you both the wrong way and bring about friction and irritation. God said, but what did I speak about your marriage? What did I tell you to say to and about your spouse? Never mind what they are not doing. Never mind what they are doing. I see it, God says. But you say what I said. You keep saying what I said. You keep saying what I said, and you will see in a matter of time that what I have said is so. Do we understand? Charles and Sheila, can I see you for a moment? Come here. Dan, please turn my mic off. Just as the word of the Lord was spoken through Pastor Judy, we are in a pivotal time frame on the precipice of significant change. And if we only understood the magnitude of what God is birthing, not about to, birthing in us and through us, how much more will we line up our words with what God is saying? There is creative power in every word that God has spoken to us and about us, individually and as a congregation. It's not just up to the pastor's family. It's not just up to the pastors. Every single one of us have a part to play. But when we line up our words consistently, and hear me when I say this, that means long before you ever walk through the door of Redeeming Love Christian Center, during the week when you're out shopping, when you're in your home, when you're on your job, and a thought comes up about what we can't do, what we don't have, who has left, and what is not here anymore. Those are the times that we must line our words up with what God has said. We must continually speak what God has said, regardless of what it looks like, because God is waiting for a sound to come from us. And that sound is the sound of agreement. Yes, it is bathed in praise, but it is the sound of agreement that says, God says it is so, and we are saying so be it. Let our amen be to what God has said. When God says there is change on the horizon, that change involves every aspect of our lives. That change requires us to be more sensitive to God so that our routines and our habits and our customs and our mannerisms, we are willing to abandon them and drop them when God says, let them go. Because at that point, they become stagnant and foul before him. For us to try to hold on to policy and procedure and ritual and habit when God has said no more and let it go, that will stagnate that which God has already spoken. We don't want to be found challenging the spoken word of God. So however God speaks it, shake off that mindset of tradition. There are some things that are good to continue doing. But when God has said, let that custom go, let that pattern or that habit go, shake it off and let it go and step out into the new of what God has spoken to us. There is change before this congregation. There is change before this congregation. There is change before this congregation. And every word that God has spoken shall surely, absolutely, surely, of a truth, come to pass. Get in agreement with God. Stay in agreement with God. Make yourselves available to him. Something the Holy Spirit had Pastor Judy say Sunday night to us is to cry out that we want more of God. Are you in agreement with that? Make the adjustments. Make the adjustments. Because he's not withholding anything from us.
but he's waiting for us to make the adjustments so that we can receive the more from him. He's pouring it out. But until we keep ourselves in place, we won't have the more that he desires for us to have. Are we in agreement? I'm going to unhook. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just praise the Lord and thank him for his word. Thank him for his spoken word. Thank him for the manifestation of his word. Thank you for the validity of his word, that his word is true. Thank him that he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, that he has said it and he will do it. Thank him that there shall surely be a performance of every word that he has spoken to us. Let that be our constant praise. Thanking God, one, for who he is, what he has said, and what he is bringing to pass. Amen. Hallelujah.